above the horizontal.
Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. And Felder scored. Felder scored in the corner.
I was all right for a while, but then I missed it. It being Above the Horizontal, a rugby league podcast featuring a bunch of dudes who used to write for realsport101.com. I'm your host, Bo Nicholson. I'm joined by almost all of the crew. We don't have the Big E giving his phenomenal tip of the week this week because he's gallivanting around France and England at the moment. I'm not sure exactly where he is. His brother will help us out with that shortly. And we don't have Chris Burin tonight. He is, of course, busy at work as he always is. Who we do have is the newlywed legend, Daniel Friend. Welcome back, Friendy, from your wedding and then, of course, your time in Bali on your honeymoon. So welcome back to Australia. What was the absolute best thing about getting married, having the wedding day?
Thank you, Bo. Hello, everyone. Hello, boys. The best thing about the wedding day, well, my lovely bride is listening in the other room, so I'd have to say when we said I do. But it was just, yeah, it was all a great day, mate. It was really good. Ceremony was short and sharp. And, yeah, then we got stuck into the partying and it was really good. We, yeah, to be fair, we finished up about 6 o'clock in the morning. So it was a big party. Yeah, it was very fun. Very good.
Did you have many people stick it around till 6 in the morning?
Yeah, about half the wedding stayed on site where we were. So the wedding was about 60 and about 30 probably stayed. And one of the, one of the lovely couples that attended, they offered up their big apartment for us to kick on at after the reception, and kick on we did. So yeah, it was good fun.
Brilliant. And I heard that you, on your other podcast, Beers in the Sheds, I heard that you made some friends while you're in Bali as well. So it sounds like a good time all around for you.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. We did the romantic thing for about a day and a half, and then we met some people from, what do you know, the Central Coast over on the other side of Bali, I guess. So, and yeah, we basically partied with them for the rest of the time we were there. So yeah, good times.
Isn't there a saying about wherever you go, it's kind of, you'll find some sort of like Rabbitohs fan at any sporting event, and you'll find a coastie somewhere. There's always a coastie around somewhere, right?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. So if anyone needs tickets to Drifter's Wharf, which a lot of bands play at now these days in Gosford, yeah, let me know, because that's who we were hanging out with, the big venue manager there. So.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. Thanks, Friendy. Miles Stedman, you are a man who really, really enjoys live music and things like that. how are you going this evening?
I'm going well, Bo. How are you?
I'm not bad. I had a bit of a day off today where I bought a polo shirt and did nothing else, which is probably less productive than our other guest this evening, or co-host, I should say, Kieran Gibson. Kieran, how are you going?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Finals fever is heating up, and Brisbane has two prelims this weekend across two different codes. So exciting times to be in Brisbane.
It is very much so. You might hear that Kieran's microphone's a little bit different, dear listener, but that's because we had some technical difficulties. We got him on the phone. We could not let him miss out on this. Guys, let's talk about the Wildcard Awards and my favorite part of the show, of course, where we talk about anything we like in the world of rugby league. Friendy, you've been out for a couple of weeks, so jump off the back fence, my friend, and get into it. What's your wildcard award this week?
My wildcard award this week, Bo, is the Groundhog Day Award. And as true, like in true Bill Murray style, goes to the top four. Basically, we're going to get a winner from the top four again. And yeah, I mean, it's just a huge advantage. Credit to them for finishing up there. They've made their way back to play, I guess, the opposite side of the draw, the guys that lost. But yeah, the winner's going to come from the top four yet again.
A follow-up question to that, Friendy. I heard some rumblings that people were unhappy about the final system, saying that because there's so much of a advantage for the top four, that they want to mix it up, maybe go back to the McIntyre system where it was 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, et cetera, or finding a different method altogether. What are your thoughts? Do you think that we should be trying to make it better for teams that are in the bottom half of the top four, or do we want to encourage, you know, that advantage from, you know, performances throughout the season?
Oh, I think encourage. Just score more tries, win more games. If you've got an issue with it, finish in the top four. That's my solution.
And that's coming from a Knights fan who finished fifth, and it would have made a big difference to you guys for sure.
Yeah, it would have, But that's, if you've got an issue with it, do better.
Good call. Anyone have anything else to add on that one?
No, I agree with friend. I think that we changed it for a reason. And it would be silly to overreact to two seasons. And I think if you change it back, the issue we were getting at the end of the season was a little bit of a sort of a dull march. Whereas now there's something to play for teams that are, you know, 1, 3, and 4, obviously, to stay up in the double chance zone, 5 and 6 to get up there, and then, of course, 7 and 8 to make the finals. So, you know, unless you're top two teams in the NRL, which, you know, obviously the best two in the NRL anyway, there's always something to play for.
And to that point, having one or two, you get two home finals at some point as well. So that's another advantage right there.
Well, nobody in the NRL era has even won outside the top four, even when the McIntyre system's been going, right?
I don't think so. I think the furthest back I can think of a West team Tigers? Winning outside the top four, they were fourth. They were fourth. And I think the Bulldogs in 1995, so that was a top eight system, but the top eight system as it is now, I think they came from sixth or seventh to win that year in 1995.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, like, it shows, like, since 97, even when we had the McIntyre system, it didn't matter anyway, so I prefer it stays as it is now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kieran, while I've got you, what's your wildcard award this week?
I've gone short and simple. I've just gone to Ask and You Shall Receive Award, which goes to the Panthers CEO, Brian Fletcher, who cried foul at the Broncos. Get to play at Suncorp this Saturday, but they don't get to play the Panthers at their traditional home stadium at Blue Vet. Well, I think the Panthers can play at Suncorp Stadium then, and they're maybe not lucky to be playing there anyway after Sean Johnson was ruled out in week one of the final.
So what do we make about all this, boys? Brian Fletcher's just sort of, to me it seems, this is Brian Fletcher, of course, not to be confused with the Fox Sports pundit of high intelligence. We're talking about the Panthers CEO, of course, two different people, talking about the fact that it's unfair for suburban Sydney teams that they have to play their prelims at big stadiums, but the Broncos get to play their home game at their home ground. To me, it's a false equivalence, though, because what are we going to do? Force them to have a clash with the AFL at the Gabba, or force them to play at the Gold Coast or at Redcliffe? It just seems silly to me. But does anyone have any different views on that, or is Brian Fletcher a bit over the top there, Friendy, do you think?
I think he's trying to take the pressure away from something else. I don't know. It seems a bit of a smokescreen. Maybe he's trying to keep the news off Luai or something like that. I don't really know. Like, who cares? Just tell the Penrith people to travel 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, dead set. Like, what a non-issue.
Miles, you're a Sydney resident. It might be a little bit more than 10, 15 minutes, but surely that's the move, right?
I mean, yeah, I agree with friend. It's one of those things that if you're a good CEO, the kind of shit that you say during the week and the lead up to the game to take the pressure off the team. And there's always pressure on the Panthers. They're not, as we've dwelled on the past few weeks, they're not particularly popular among the NRL. So, you know, I think it's a good tactic from a leader at the club.
My wildcard award this week is about the whole Ashley Klein situation. So for context, during the Storm and Roosters game, he had a couple of errors. The biggest one for sure was when the Storm were winning 6-0, I think, at the time. They're on their own end, trying to clean up a kick, and Harry Grant, it's a blatant knock-on. The referee's right there. I don't know how he missed it personally. Later that set, well, after a penalty, an unrelated penalty, the Storm end up scoring a try, and as it turned out, they won by 5 points at the very end. As a result, there's been a lot of very angry fans coming out. There's been a lot of criticism of Klein, which I think some criticism is fair considering the magnitude of the error, but there've been a lot of fans coming out on social media or in private messages, like with death threats and things like that. And to them, they get the
"get absolutely fucked, mate"
award. It makes a recurrence. The "get absolutely fucked, mate" award, because by popular demand, by the way, because that's way too far. I agree with criticizing the ref. I do not agree with carry on behind the scenes or in direct messages. But on that subject, it seems to me like Klein, well, he has been dropped. He's not refereeing a prelim this week. He probably was in consideration for a grand final. Do we think that's fair? Do we think it's fair that he's been dropped considering that error, Miles?
Has the NRL said it was due to the error?
They haven't expressly said it, but once you sort of get to this part of the season, you really just have those two refs that just kind of roll through all the games until they pick one. So the fact that he was one of those two and then now is not, I think it says something.
Yeah, you know, you're right, it does. Look, I'm happy to, this is the thing that I'm happy to leave up to the decision makers, just because I sort of, I'm not a huge fan of the discourse around referees. You know, yes, sometimes they do a bad job, but we rarely talk about them when they do a good job, which I will admit isn't quite enough for my liking. But look, if the referee's boss thinks that he's not done a good enough job to referee in this game, then he hasn't. You know, what's the alternative? Saying that he hasn't done a good enough job and letting him referee anyway?
Kieran, what are your thoughts about that?
That seems to be the precedent set, right? Like, I'm not necessarily saying it's definitely the right thing to be doing, but any time there has been a big blunder, and it was a big blunder, as we've said, then the referee gets dropped. Like, the only thing that you could maybe say is that, like, Klein has, I'm pretty sure he refereed all three Origin games this season, so he's the man for the big occasion, or at least the NRL seem to think so, and I think he's one of the better referees, so maybe he's a little bit unlucky, but at the same time, he could still get picked to referee the grand final, so maybe this is an all right week to kind of reflect on that and then try and be a bit better next game round, which could be the grand final.
Friendy, any thoughts?
Well, I don't have a massive issue with the refs. I think the refs have got the hardest job ever. Like, on the field, it's incredibly fast-paced. They're making a million decisions a million miles an hour, and I think the bunker hinders them speaking in their ear the whole time. I think it's ridiculous. He had an absolute shocker. That was like a dead set knock on. You could see it. I don't know about other people, but I could see from the lounge room straight away. I was like, he's knocked that on. And he was right in front of it. And it, yeah, the penalty, and then obviously they let a try in and things like that. So yeah, it was a costly one. But the video refs are the one I have the issue with. They get 50,000 replays and they seem to be the only person in the country that thinks one decision when everyone else thinks another. They're the ones I have an issue with. I think the refs do as good as they can. Yeah, I can't question them too much.
I tend to agree with that. And I will also mention, like, there was a bunker involved in that. There's two touch judges right there that have a view of things as well. No one said anything to Klein. Klein should have done better. But, you know, he's not a lone ranger on this one. And I think, to wrap it up, I think Trent Robinson handled it really well when he was asked about it in the press conference. He said, yep. You know, it was a knock on, and yep, he apologized to Teddy, and you know, that's great, but realistically he didn't miss those tackles or give away those penalties or whatever. So, you know, that was a pretty good response from him, I think. With speaking of the Roosters, they're one of the teams that got folded, to use a Kane Evans expression. They lost to the Storm 18-13 on the weekend. Now, the way that the season was going for the Roosters, many of us had them in top fours and things like that at the start of the season. They managed to squeak their way into seventh and then push their way to within 2 minutes of a preliminary final against the Panthers. I don't know how to get a good read on this season. Are we calling this, and Freddie, I'll go to you, are we calling this like an okay result for the Roosters, or are we still kind of thinking, nah, they're still capable of much, much better?
They're capable of much, much better. But, yeah, I don't know what they'd think in their review, to be honest. It all just went a bit wrong the whole year. Injuries, suspensions, they were clunky. Yeah, I don't know. It just all went a bit pear-shaped from the word go. Lots of people had them as their premiers and, yeah, it didn't end up like that, did it?
I was among that number. I was somebody that thought they were a genuine... Because, like, you know, winning three in a row, it looks like the Panthers will get it done now, them or the Broncos. But getting three in a row seemed unlikely. So the Roosters look like that team for me. Miles, are you like Friendy saying that, you know, obviously they did well to get to seventh at all from where they came from, but are you also a bit disappointed by the tricolours?
Not particularly. I don't think I had them as my premiers. I strongly doubt it. But I think it's hard to say a team that got to the semi-finals is a failure, especially when they were that close to beating the Storm on the road. I look at it more from that standpoint, because what, you know, once you qualify for the finals, does it really matter where you finished? I mean, you know, yes, they probably maybe could have been playing that game at home if they'd been better during the season, but they weren't. They had lots to deal with, as we've pointed out. I think it's a pretty good job from the Roosters, all things considered. They will be expecting more next year. I'm sure they'll be expecting to be back in the top four. But I think, yeah, given all they came up against, it's a pretty fair season on their half.
Kieran, with all that in mind, do you think they can push into the top four next season? Like maybe with some improved performances from particular players?
I was very tempted to say yes, but then you have to consider the fact that they have quite a few aging stars in Tedesco and Thierry who, yeah, they had decent seasons towards the back end, but before that it was very, very average. Probably the most lean season that at least Tedesco's had, maybe Thierry as well. I think that it's probably compounded, like, whether or not you say this was a failure of a season for the Roosters, at least I feel this way, is compounded by the fact that the Roosters haven't gone past week two since 2020, and they were obviously won back-to-back in 2018 and 2019. So I think, and then the fact that they do have, or at least in preseason, it looked like quite a stellar squad. People were expecting better things, and I think that's fair. I would, yeah, probably call it a slight failure, especially because in that week two in the game that they just had against the Storm, I think the Storm were ripe for the taking, and they had them. They were up by a point, and sure, it was Class from Warbrick that stole the game from the Roosters. But yeah, I would probably put it down as a slight failure.
Yeah, that's probably where I land as well. But as we said, though, so close to being in that prelim. Who knows what happens when you get there? They probably lose to the Panthers. But, you know, like, you got to be into when they were close. You know, it took a bit of genius from Munster, who just has nerves of steel. And as you said, that wonderful catch from Warbrick under plenty of pressure from Junior Palmer. So, you know, I don't know. A bit of a wash by the end of it. The other team that got eliminated was the Newcastle Knights. And I don't know. I was not expecting to be talking about the Knights at this time of the year. I expected them to be, I think I predicted bottom five for them. So I've got to eat some humble pie there. I don't think I was alone. I think we all kind of expected that, particularly with Ponga being injured, being unsure about, you know, I was pretty sure that Hastings in, Clemmer out was a good trade for the Knights, but we weren't 100% sure about how that was going to go or who was going to play 5-8 and how Ponga was going to go at 5-8 and was Lockie Miller going to do it. And by the time they configured their team correctly, Ponga back to fullback, Hastings took control of the squad, Phoenix Crossland did amazing at hooker, they forced their way into fifth. I know I went to you first last time, Friendy, but it feels right to go to you first about the Knights. As a Knights fan, is this a sign of things to come, do you think, for the Knights? Do you think you can get back here again next year and really give it a push?
Oh, I'd like to hope so. I think they've taken a good step in making their home ground a real fortress again. I think that was always a real strength of Newcastle over the years when they were strong. They did have a guy by the name of Andrew Johns in their team when that was the case, though. So, I'm not massive on the coach still. I think he's just got some faults as a human, to be honest. But I will say that they've got all the things I look for in a top four side, which is a few good props. I think the Safidi boys, when they pull their finger out, it's no surprise to me that they came good at the end of the year when they were fit. They were match fit. So they've got to have a big off season and be fit from the word go. A couple of good bookends. They've got some decent halves there that can control the ship. Phoenix Crossland, for mine, he's the number nine now. I think Brayley might find himself on the outer there a little bit. They've got some strike outside backs in Best and Marzu. Young's going to be a loss. And then they've got the Mercurial, the superstar in Kalen Ponga. So they've got it there. If injuries are kind, we've got a couple of good signings, young Will Price. And for anyone that hasn't seen him, Kai Paul Pierce. Oh, my God. He's a back rower. If you want to go on YouTube and have a look at him, they're calling him the Sonny Bill of the Super League, which I do understand tackling is optional in the Super League. but this kid, man, holy moly, I reckon we've got a good one there. So he moves like like he's on the dance floor, and he's about 6'6" and 110 kilos and holds a ball like a big coconut. So, yeah, he's going to be a live one for us, I reckon. So, yeah, there's enough there. But whether we can get back here or not, I do think we bullied a couple of crap teams on the way home. We caught a couple of decent teams on an off night as well. So maybe there's some fool's gold. But I tell you what, that first final against Canberra, whilst it was a close game and everything, I thought the crowd and energy of the team and yeah, when Kalen's got his head on, they'll be hard to beat.
A question about the new back rower. Is he a left edge back rower? Because he'll slot into like I know you're not a big Fitzgibbon fan, but he is leaving. He did play well towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, for sure. His defense improved a lot as well, and that's I couldn't fault him on that. And when I was bagging him, he was playing crap. So if he plays good, I'll give him a rap too, Fitzgibbon, and he did well the back end of the year. So well done to him. Paul Pierce is from what I've seen, it looks like he's a right edge player. But to be honest, Frizzell can jump over to the left if needed. Young Dylan Lucas is there as well. I like the look of him. So got a couple of options there.
While I've got you, what happened on the weekend? They out of the blocks were just horrible. Mm. They fought their way back into the game valiantly, but they were outclassed in the end. Do you feel like it was a bit of a hangover from a very taxing game the week before, or just didn't travel well, or just a bad day?
Yeah, blown away by a better side, mate, to be honest. We had a cricket, we were playing a trial match, and we're actually against a team up in Newcastle, so we're all rushing to finish the game and everything, and we finished about 10 minutes into the game, all rushed off the field and checked the score, and what do you know, no one wanted us to watch it anymore. So, it was a bit disappointing finish, but I do think, the Warriors are a much better side throughout the entirety of the season, so well done to them.
Miles, any thoughts about the Knights moving forward, about how they can take that positivity from those 10 or 11 weeks they won in a row, but then, also the stinging loss over in New Zealand and turn it into further finals success?
I think they need to continue doing what they're doing, because I think that the club's heading in the right direction. I know Friend isn't a huge fan of Adam O'Brien, and it may prove that he's not really as good a coach as he might have seemed in the second half of the season. But Pong isn't heading in the right direction. Crossland, I agree, absolutely the hooker. You can't move him. Maybe there is, as Willie Mason contends, space to upgrade on somebody like Tyson Gamble. But I think Hastings is good in the halves as well. And then, as Friend said, if you continue to add pieces here and there, like the guy from England, and that they did a pretty good job last time they recruited out of England too, the Knights.
Yeah, they've got another one. If you remember Leon Price, the former English international, it's his son, Will Price, who is a 5'8 fullback. He's a bit of a live wire. So he's someone that potentially could come in for Gamble, and maybe Gamble moves to that Kurt Mann 14 spot. I don't know, but the only thing with Price, I'm not sure defensively he would be up to it just yet, but potentially later in the year. He's got a bit of Ezra Mam about him.
Tackling optional, as he said.
Yeah.
And I think that, as you guys know, I think that tackling is the last sort of thing you worry about when you've got a half. Yes, they can get better at that, but I think if he's a good player, then you leave him out there to sort it out and let his talent worry about the rest. But yeah, I think the Knights are heading in the right direction based off this season.
What about you, Kieran?
I am a little bit on the side of Friendy, and I'm a little bit surprised I'm saying that, but I do wonder if it was a little bit of fool's gold throughout the season, because I was quite high on the Knights when they really got going. I didn't think it was a fluke at all. I still don't think it's a fluke. I don't believe in that at all. I think you earn what you get, but I do have to wonder how they'll go next season if they can back it up at least as strongly. If we were tipping the top eight right now, I would say that the Knights will be there again next year, but you just don't know with how it goes. But I think they've got the nucleus there, as we're saying. Like, Phoenix Crossland has to stay there at nine, and Ponga is just, like, if he can get going like how he did this season, I think he will. I think he really came of age this season. I think he's going to show that he's going to be a consistent performer now. If you just have one player like that, it's not a guarantee for success, but geez, it helps so much.
I tend to agree. I think they'll probably be there or thereabouts on what we've seen. But as we saw last year from the Eels, Rabbitohs and the Cowboys, it's one thing to put together a really good season or a really good half season even, but it's another thing entirely to back that up. So good luck to the Knights. Very quickly, boys, we have some breaking news broken to us in the group chat by the absent Chris Waring. He's a Tigers fan. And apparently Lee had to tell us, and I'm not sure about his hat, but Lee had to tell us himself has been re-elected as Tigers chairman. So that's concerning, I think, for Tigers fans, that they had an opportunity for change there. There was obviously some sort of election process, and maybe they went to market and had a look around and didn't like what they saw. I'm not sure.
No, there's something in their constitution that they've got to they've got to get voted out by like 60 million people, and there's only 25 million in Australia and only like a million of Tigers members or whatever. So it's like impossible for him to fucking get voted out. I feel for him. It's ridiculous. He's hopeless. Yeah,
it is getting ridiculous. Chris has sent a very emo message in the group chat. I'll say that. And I've already seen a sad react from Daniel Friend there in the background. So yes, hearts out to all of you Tigers fans out there that are doing it tough, because it has been a bullshit decade and it seems to be continuing. And a lot of it's been under the watch of Lee Hadjipantelis and his hat. And I'm not sure that either of them are going to see you through to the promised land as they promised. So, you know, fingers crossed for Tigers fans. Any thoughts on that, gents, before we get going?
The board probably went to him and said, can you commit to another 2.9 mil a year for the next 4 years or whatever the term length is? He said, sure. And so they said, sure, you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, if Friendy's right about the way that these things go, it wouldn't be those exact numbers, obviously, but it would be unrealistic sometimes. It feels like, you know, like they always say about public service jobs, like you get into a public service job and then you're kind of just stuck there for your life. It's very hard to get sacked from those sort of things. It feels like that at the Tigers at the moment. You can get rid of a coach easy enough, but not necessarily a chairman or a CEO. So disappointing news, I think, but... As I said, we're not hearing from the Big E this time, but a big shout out to the Big E, of course, living it up in... Where is he at the moment, Kieran, your brother?
He's on a cruise, so I'm not exactly sure. He might actually just be out at sea, and I don't quite know where it would be. But yeah, he's on a cruise going to Norway, Croatia, Iceland, and a few other places.
Oh, if you don't mind. Yeah, if you don't mind, for the Big E. Living it up, of course. But big shout out to the Big E. We love the Big E here at Above the Horizontal. He's a valued member of our podcast. Let's roll forward to the predictions for this weekend. And obviously, maybe trying to work out who we think is going to win. Now, it looks like in both the NRL and the NRLW, there are some pretty firm favorites, I think. Let's start with the NRLW. So the first game is between the first place Knights and the fourth place Broncos. So how this final series works, there's no like bonuses for coming first or second, apart from, of course, having a home game. Basically, you play one semifinal against the other team. If you win, you're through to the grand final next week. So that's the way it'll go for these girls. So the Knights versus the Broncos at McDonald Jones Stadium on Sunday afternoon. Some good news for the Knights is that they do have Jesse Southwell getting named. I think that's a big in, of course, for them. Broncos, there's no real changes there. So they look pretty full strength as well. Friendy, the Knights men couldn't get through to this exact point of the season, but the girls have. They're looking good. I thought the Roosters would be very hard to beat, but the Knights have managed to finish above them. How are you feeling about this one?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident about this one. I think the Broncos are sort of on the downward trend, and the Knights are upward trending. The Southwells, Tamika Upton, Caitlin Johnson, isn't she a gun? I think they'll be too strong. I look forward to cheering the girls on.
I really like Yasmin Clydesdale as well on the edge there. She's got some really good late footwork and a nice offload.
Is she sister or wife of Adam Clydesdale, former Knight?
I am not sure.
She's one or the other. She might even be wife.
Interesting. Mm. I'm not sure. Maybe one of our listeners will let us know in the comments of the status when this goes up. But yes, Yasmin Clydesdale, a gun, as well as a bunch of their players. I'm also going to go for the Knights. What do you think, Miles?
I'll go for the Knights too. It's a big ask coming down from Brisbane for the game. So let's go. Let's stay safe with the Knights.
And Kieran, are you going to show some Broncos love?
No, definitely not. I'm going to go for the Knights. But I do think it's a bit unfair that the Knights get to have a home game for this and the Panthers don't.
All right, Brian Fletcher. Remind me to change your name in the group chat. The next game is the Roosters and the Titans. This is second versus third. I hope no one is sleeping on the Titans just quietly. From Allianz Stadium, this game will be pretty much immediately after the previous game on Sunday afternoon. So they did have Millie Boyle was out of their previous game, but I think it was more of a resting situation. She does have a shoulder injury, but she seems okay now. The big thing is Jess Sergis has been out for a little while with a finger injury. She is named in the reserves, but she may not play. The Titans are looking good, though. They've got Talia Fuimaano returning into the side there via the reserves, potentially. So keeping an eye on that situation there. Miles, who do you like in the Roosters versus Titans?
Give me the Roosters, I reckon.
Are you sleeping on the Titans? Is that your situation? Or
always.
Always, yeah, good. That's at least you're consistent. Kieran, who do you like in this one?
I don't know. The Roosters' attack is pretty, yeah. I'm going to go just on the back of the way the Roosters' attack has looked. I'm going to tip them.
Yeah, I'll be tipping the Roosters here, guys. We'll set up a nice mouth-watering clash with Millie Boyle up against her old club in the grand final.
I'm just going to back in the Titans. Why not? Because while I am obviously super impressed by Taryn Aiken at 5'8", she's unreal. And Corbin Bass has had some really, really nice touches. Isabel Kelly, of course, is class. Millie Boyle up the front there. Like, they've got a really great team. There's no question about it. And as I said at the start of the season, I thought they would destroy basically every team this year. But the Titans have really surprised me. I've really liked Jamie Chapman's strength and speed out at center. Shante Kiira Ratu, she's so young and not quite in the class of Jesse Southwell, but there's a brashness and a confidence to her youth, which is really, I think, infectious for the team. Lauren Brown steers that team around really beautifully as well. So I, with no confidence, am going to go for the Titans. Let's talk about the NRL. Preliminary finals, or as Billy Slater calls them, the preliminary finals. We've got the Panthers and Storm from Acor Stadium, very controversially on Friday night. The big news, I suppose, is that they've named Isaac Tungo and they've also named Jerome Luai, both coming back from injury, probably pretty early, really, especially Luai popping his shoulder like 3 weeks ago. That's a quick turnaround. So I'm surprised, to be honest. Jack Cogger's on the bench, so I suppose, and Peachy's in the reserve. So if they were going to, you know, if Luai doesn't make it, I think they just go back to that. For the Storm, it looks pretty much settled for them. Obviously, Jerome Hughes has been named, which is great news for the Storm. That pushes Tyron Richard back to the bench, with Bronson Garlick maybe a bit unlucky to be back in the reserves. Kieran, who do you like in this game?
I've just got to go the Panthers. I read a thing on Triple M, it was Mark Geyer, and he went back to the way that the Penrith trio of Leota, James Fisher-Harris, and Liam Martin just bullied the Eels pack in the grand final last year in the first 15-20 minutes. Yeah, really set the tone, and that pretty much won them the game. And I think if they do that again, and they'll probably be out there looking to do that, I think that they could finish this game quite early on, or at least build up a bit of a score that kind of sets the tone and breaks the spirit of the Storm a bit. I can't see anything other than a Storm or a Panthers win.
That's pretty harsh on Christian Welch, just quietly. thinking that he will get bullied by these guys. I am a big fan of Christian Welch. He let me down last week, though. I had a bold prediction saying that he would score, and he did not. So I was not happy with that.
Intercept,
it did. Oh, what an intercept. What a moment. I felt like he was like laughing halfway down. I'd be like, what the fuck am I doing here? So we've got Friendy. You've been big on the Panthers for a long time. Obviously, they're a class team. They don't make a lot of mistakes. The Storm have been, despite coming third, I feel like quite inconsistent. And a lot of their big game players haven't had as big a season as they can. How do you think this one's going
to
go?
Yeah, I think Penrith win, and Penrith win well, to be honest. And I'm not sure Penrith will score a crazy amount of points or anything, but the Storm's attack is just impotent. They're pretty average at the moment with the ball in hand. I think their forwards are a little bit slow and sort of up and down. Apart from Nelson, I don't think anyone creates much ruck speed for Harry Grant and Munster to play off the back of. So I think they may struggle there. I think if I was Bellamy, I know Katoa has had a really good relationship with Jerome Hughes the back end of this year, but I'd be starting Nelson on that right edge, which he's done a little bit of in his time there, if Jerome Luai plays. And I'd just be sending Nelson straight at him. as much as possible, particularly close to the line if they can get down there. And I'd just, yeah, throw all the chips in and I'd start that way. And if you can start well against the Panthers, they're proven that they struggle when they're coming from behind. So that's the only way to beat them, I guess. But I would, yeah, I just can't see anything but a Penrith win here. I think Penrith will do well. They're right edge. There's points out there in Crichton and To'o. And, yeah, I think that's where they'll score most of their points and I think they'll win the game. And to be honest, I reckon they're a chance to keep Melbourne to nil, to be honest. I think it could be 20-0 or something like that. So, yeah, I guess we'll see.
Miles, Freddy touched on an interesting thing there, and it was something that I wanted to talk about, was the fact that if you play the Panthers at their game, you're probably going to lose. You know, if you like we've talked about, you know, the fact that Martin and Leota and Fisher-Harris will bully you through the middle and Yeo will play the way he does. And if you give Cleary time, he's just going to pick you apart. So what they can do is, and Friendly talking about the fact that they've got a lot of, maybe not the quickest middle forwards, you know, guys like Christian Welch and Josh King are not going to give you a lot of punch. But what you can do is get some ruck speed out of your edges. Do you think that if the Storm, first of all, I'll get your tip, Miles, but then also, do you think the Storm have a chance to beat the Panthers if they do try something a bit different? Throw Nelson on an edge, give him early ball. When you're coming out of trouble, throw the ball a bit wider and try and make some yards and get some ruck speed. Do you see a world where the Storm can get a result there?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if Bellamy tried something like that, just given how his back is up against the wall here. But I kind of, overall, I agree with Friend. I think that I can see the Panthers winning this one by double digits. The Storm, they won the game last week, but they didn't exactly look great, as we've touched on. They more, if anything, played down to the Roosters, I'd say. It's hard to see them winning this one. Maybe if they used the... You know, we hear so often about the different fields that teams play at. If the Panthers really are that sort of upset about having to play this at a core as opposed to Panthers Stadium or Bluebet Stadium or whatever it is at the moment, maybe use the width of the field and the corners, which, you know, typically that's the hardest thing to adjust to when you're not playing at home. So who knows, maybe some early kicks we can see them, but... Look, you know, to speak more specifically, your point about the Storms, the athletes in the Storms forward pack, I think the Panthers have the athleticism to match them. We hear over and over again how they've got the best defensive centre in the league in Stephen Crichton. So, gosh, they should have no problem, right?
That was a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there, I think, from Mr. Stebbin there. You know, the thing that has always been the case about Crichton, whether, because a few of us have had opinions about him and mine hasn't shifted a great deal, but I thought he had a really good Origin series. And I think the thing you can always say about him is that he is pretty solid. And in a system like the Panthers, where they rely on having no weaknesses, particularly in defense, I mean, he does the job, right? Like, he's got a pretty simple job to do in defense. Center's a hard position to master. He seems to do okay. I think the Panthers as well, guys. I think they'll do it pretty easy. The Storm looked busted to me, like getting done the way they did by the Broncos. And the Broncos, in my personal opinion, as I said last week, weren't world beaters last time they played. I don't think the 26-0 was necessarily all the Broncos. I think a lot of it was the Storm. The Storm crept over the line against the Roosters, who were also fairly unimpressive. So I'm definitely on the Panthers here for a pretty sizable victory. The next game is between, of course, the Broncos and the Warriors on Saturday evening from Suncorp Stadium. Kieran, you'll be the expert on this. Does it clash with the AFL game or is the AFL game a bit earlier?
The AFL game is earlier, but there will be a slight overlap, you would think, because AFL, there's stoppage. Literally every time there's a stoppage in AFL, they stop the clock. So the quarter is, I'm forgetting now, Miles, I think it's 20 minutes. And then, yeah, but they usually end up going for sometimes 35 minutes, sometimes even longer. A quarter can go for.
What a great sport. Love it. So there will be some overlap. I'm trusting that Kieran I'm not sure if you're going to either of the games, but if you're not, I'm assuming you'll have the KO2 screen thing going on with the Broncos and the Warriors. Now, the Broncos are 1-17, and so are the Warriors. So that's exciting news for both clubs. I'm a bit unsure about Nick Hore. He had that injury last week, but then I think he also came back on the field with that injury, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember, but either way, he's in name. So good luck to both teams. Being 1-17 is a very fortuitous thing at this time of the year. Friendly, obviously the Broncos are the favourites. They came second throughout the year. They were first for most of it. The Warriors had to do it the hard way to get here, but they were very impressive against the Knights. Very, very impressive. How do you see this going?
I think this will be a game sort of broken up into three different stages. I think the Broncos will start well. Their middle forwards to start the game, Flegler, Haas and Carrigan, they're just fantastic. They get a real roll on through the middle and the guys play off the back of that and they look to just blow teams away early. But so I think they'll start hot. And then I think the Warriors, they sort of just play error-free, really high percentage footy. And then when Dylan Walker comes on in the middle of the field, they get a bit of punch through the middle and they play off the back of that and gets a bit of momentum there. I think he's had a really good season, Dylan Walker. And, yeah, I think they'll wrestle it back a little bit when he comes on. And it'll be sort of level pegging going to the end. But I think Adam Reynolds, I think the boot of Adam Reynolds in particular, whether it's a field goal, penalty goal, he'll force a dropout, I don't know, a really good long kick. Maybe he'll set up a try with his boot. I don't know. But I feel like Adam Reynolds, and in particular his right boot, will get Brisbane home in a real tight one.
It's interesting looking at these two squads because you sort of mentioned Dylan Walker's punch off the bench. And the really cool thing about when he comes on is that he comes on basically as a front rower. He usually replaces Barnett or Fanua Blake. And so you've got him and Tohu Harris in the middle. They both have really nice ball skills. They both play as like these middle links. But Walker also has that leg speed of a back that he used to be. He played for Australia as an 18-year-old. In the back line. So, you know, you've got like, I think the Warriors have the superior bench and the Broncos aren't slouches on the bench, maybe except for their hooker rotation. But like, I think the Warriors have the advantage there. The Broncos otherwise have the advantage almost across the park, I think, like especially in the back line and the middle forwards. It's not as big a gap as you might have thought though. Fanua Blake's been good. Harris has been amazing. So you're thinking Broncos start strong, Warriors get back into it.
I don't know. And the Warriors have got a decent record up at Suncorp. They'll get a lot of support. They have a lot of expat New Zealanders in southeast Queensland. So I think they'll have some support at the ground. And yeah, I think it'll be a great game. I'll be cheering for the Warriors, but I believe the Broncos will win.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty familiar sentiment. For those of you that don't live in southeast Queensland, Friendy's dead right. There is a huge amount of Kiwis that have, you know, emigrated across here. And there's actually a very common like bumper sticker or like sticker that they put on cars, on the windows or whatever, where it says Queenslander, but the NS in Queensland is NZ. And you know, it's a very like common thing to have like a whole bunch of Kiwis over here with that Queenslander. You see it everywhere. Miles, what's your read on this situation? Because the Broncos are obviously clear favourites, playing at home. They've had a week off. They got Reece Walsh in peak form. But the Warriors are really impressive. How do you see it going?
Yeah, I think this one's going to be a little bit too tough for the Warriors to overcome, especially coming from New Zealand. I think you almost would have rather play that last game in Newcastle with how average the Knights were. Just so you can stay in the same time zone. But yeah, look, I don't think it's going to be quite as close personally as Friend makes out. I think the Broncos will win pretty comfortably. As we've said, there's been a clear top two for most of the season. I think this weekend will confirm that.
I lean a bit more towards Friendy. I think it'll be a very, very close game. I think it could go either way. I think it'd be I'm tipping a 1-6 margin either way, but if I'll tip Broncos based on the unfair home ground advantage. But I don't know. I find this really hard to pick. I think the Broncos middle forwards probably edge it for me. As you said, the Warriors middle forwards are no slouches either. But I just think Flegler, Haas, and Carrigan. I think any club just about would take those three if they could. So, yeah, and then as Frendy, I have to echo pretty much everything Frendy said. Like Adam Reynolds, there was a drop goal that he did in the first half against, or a dropout rather, against the Storm in week one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just ridiculous. Just on a dime, could not have been any more inch perfect. And he's done that. There was one against the Panthers maybe two seasons ago where he nearly kicked a 40-20 and the Panthers were coming, or the Rabbitohs were coming. And if he, maybe it was 20-20, but yeah, anyway, if he had nailed this 40-20, which we all thought he had, but he was just a step over the 40-meter line, it would have been 4 points behind with like 10 to go or maybe five to go. And Rabbitohs were really had all the momentum. They could have won. He's really, really clutch. And I'm not saying Sean Johnson isn't either. I really do think this game could go either way, but I'm just going to give the slight advantage to the Broncos with Adam Reynolds.
My head says Broncos as well. They've got an outrageous roster. And if you look across their roster, especially their top 13, they are, on the exception of the hooker and the 5'8", they are and their winger, now that Jesse Arthurs is there instead of Corey Oates, but their rep quality basically 1 to 13. And I think Ezra Mann will probably play rep at some point in his career. He's still very young. So that's a rep team across the park. The Warriors also have a lot of rep strength, but not quite as much. So my head says Broncos, but like Frendy, I'd love to see the Warriors get it. I'd really love to. I'm going to barrack for them, and I'm also going to barrack for a closer game just because I hope that we have one, I guess. So that'll be my tip. I'll go for the Broncos as well. Boys, to wrap up the episode, we need a bold prediction from everybody. Friendy, what do you got for us?
I think the Penrith Panthers will keep the Melbourne Storm to 6 points or less, and I believe the Brisbane Broncos will win by 6 points or less.
Ooh, I like that. A bit of like a mirror image almost across those two. I do rate that. Miles, what's your bold prediction this week?
Mine is similar to Friend, but there's a little bit of an off-ramp there as well. I think that the Panthers will beat the Storm by 10+. And I think that the Broncos will beat the Warriors by 10+.
Okay, so two big-ish wins across the board there.
Yeah.
Kieran, what do you got for us?
I think the three starting Broncos middle forwards will run for 500 metres combined, and I'm going to say the Broncos win by 1 to 6 points.
All right. I'm going to go for three tries in the back line for the Warriors. So that's not including halves. That's from 1 to 5. I'm going to go for three tries in their back line because I feel like they're going to try and unlock this Broncos side. I can see a bit of ball movement. And Dallin Watene's Lesniak has scored heaps of tries this season. Berry and Pompey have been really strong recently. One of Miles's better calls, I think, is that Marcelo Montoya is a genuine, like, really good footballer, and he's played really well this season. And then Chans, of course, like, just a class player. So, I'm going to go with three of the back five to score tries. Boys, thank you very much for your time. It's right on 6 o'clock. We did talk about maybe finishing at this time, so we've done pretty well. Freddy, any plans for watching football this weekend, or are you busy with cricket?
No, just training this weekend. Comp starts next week, so I'll be zoning into the footy, that's for sure.
Well, have fun with that. And Miles, any plans to hit a pub or anything like that for the footy?
I might ask my mate Andy where he's going to watch the game and follow him there to watch.
I've heard that he's a Panthers fan, Andy. Is he not?
Potentially, yes. Not sure. He doesn't really talk about it much.
And Kieran, any plans for you?
Oh, yeah, I'm actually going to Suncorp. Managed to snag two tickets, so I'll be heading there quite early, or at least to Caxton Street. Hopefully not to the Caxton to watch the Lions, but that'll be my plan.
Avoid the paddo at all costs.
You beat me to it. You beat me to it.
I knew I'd have to.
The fucking paddo. Well, enjoy that sounds rad. I'm a little bit jealous. Have fun with that. And boys, of course, thank you very much for joining me tonight. Big shout out to Chris Waring, who could not make it because of work commitments, and of course through his depression with Lee Hedropoulos being re-elected as chairman with his hat. And a big shout out to the Big E, who is apparently somewhere in on the oceans of Europe. And a shout out to everybody who has tuned in. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Subscribe, of course, if you haven't already. Tell a friend, you know, a rugby league fan. We like to think we're a pretty fun podcast that occasionally have some good points about things. So hopefully they can tune in when we go above the horizontal next week. But until then. Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Steppen, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Art changes over time. This might feel weird to say because the art itself doesn't physically change, but if we agree that art tells us something about the world around us, what happens to that art once the world has changed? This is the question we try to answer on Movieversaries, a film podcast on the We Made This network. I'm the host, Bo Nicholson, and in each episode, my guests and I celebrate and re-evaluate films on significant anniversaries. We examine films from all over the world through a critical lens to determine if they stand the test of time by exploring their themes, performances, and techniques. This year, our focus is on movies made in years ending in 3. So far, we've covered the avant-garde classic Meshes of the Afternoon from 1943. On the other end of the spectrum, how does the technical marvel Jurassic Park hold up 30 years later? We also delve into other iconic films of their time, such as King Kong from 1933, Eight and a Half from 1963, and Return of the Jedi from 1983. From European art house to action, comedy, and horror, if a film is celebrating a significant anniversary, we're discussing it. Don't miss out. Subscribe to Movieversaries now, wherever you get your podcasts.